I'm going to share something this morning that is a big, 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 big topic. In fact, it's the very core of Christianity. So if you've got your Bibles, if you turn to Psalm 32, we're going to just read a few verses from Psalm 32. And verse 1. I love this psalm. I really do. Because it says, blessed or happy is a literal translation. Is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Leave it there, just a few verses. I love that psalm. Blessed is a man whose sins are forgiven, or transgressions. You know, transgressions are the things we do that we don't know we don't. Sin is what we do willfully, but they're all covered. And what they're covered with is the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that washes white as snow. There's no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the very core of Christianity. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission. The Old Testament times, as you know, before Christ came into the world, the only way that they could get their sins covered was by sacrifices of animals, and the blood atoned for their sin. But it wasn't a complete sacrifice in the fact it did not cover, it did not remove them completely until Christ came. And I want to share with you scriptures this morning, which brings out some of the benefits, the blessings that we have through the blood of Jesus. I want to be up front with you today, and say to you there is no other way to the kingdom of God except through the blood of Jesus. You cannot earn your salvation. You don't deserve that salvation. You don't merit salvation. The only way that you can get right with God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and for me. And if you never, ever, ever acknowledge that, then this morning is the morning that you need to, because you're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next year. Today is salvation day for you and for me. And there's no other way to come into the kingdom of God except through the blood of Jesus. And so I want to say the problem is with sin. Is that sin, and God demands a solution to sin. Make no bones about it. Sin is a violation of the law of God, whether you know it or not. Everything you do that's contrary to God's character, God's nature, everything you do to offend God is sin. And I said, you can sin without you knowing transgression, with a sinful nature. Adam fell into sin, and sin, the Bible says, entered into the world. And Romans 3 verse 8 says, for all have sinned. You have not accepted except through the blood of Jesus. And you cannot in any way, shape, or form say that I am righteous, I am saved, unless you've been to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem is that God hates sin. He hates it so much that he's put judgment upon sin. And the judgment is given that all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 verse 8. There's no exception, beloved. You can go to any church, you can go to any denomination, go to any cult if you want, go to a mosque if you want, go to a temple if you want, but you'll never find true peace with God, true redemption at all, except coming to Christ. And there's a lot of people that sit in church and they think they're okay. They've got a ticket somehow. They've earned a ticket to heaven. I'll tell you, one day the Lord's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And unless you come to Christ, receive his atoning sacrifice on your behalf, you can never, ever enter into heaven. And this is the very heart and the very core of the gospel. There's so much I can say, friends, this morning. You go on the internet and they'll tell you the 60, 70, 80 benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ in the believer. Well, do you want me to give 80? No, I'm not. I'm just giving eight. Eight simple, very simple benefits of the kingdom of God. The Old Testament sacrifice, therefore, was the means that God brought through the blood of the animal that was poured upon the altar. And everything in the Old Testament, as you know, was covered in the blood of the animal. Everything was... I would have... Yeah, you probably know that I don't like blood. I'm a bit squeamish when it comes to blood. But I tell you what, if I lived in those days, I don't know why. Lord, help me, because everything had to be sprinkled with the blood of the animal. Everything. Even the high priest's garments, everything was sprinkled with the blood. And in the Old Testament, it doesn't say it once, it says seven times. Oh, what a mess that would have been. But everything had to be covered in the blood of the sacrifice of the animal. It was the only way, because life is in the blood. And the blood, the animal has to give his life for the atonement of sin for those who have sinned. And that's why the Old Testament, people don't like the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Some people think it's a bit. But never mind, it's God's way, because God preordained and God knew that man would fall. And he instituted this sacrificial, atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so much you can say on that. If you need to study on it, then read the Old Testament, particularly Leviticus. I've just finished reading Leviticus again, and I noticed new things about the sacrifice of the animals and the fact that the animals had to be pure, holy, had to be absolutely spotless, no defects, nothing. I already knew that, but even so, it gives a full picture when you read it of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and when he came, gave his life for you and for me. See, God is holy, absolute holy, and he cannot tolerate sin. And the person who thinks they can get to heaven by any other means, without being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will not make it, impossible. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. One way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the very life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Remember Bildad, or Bildad, if you call him, in Job, one of the so-called comforters of Job. Mind you, even they, some comforters, wouldn't they? But anyway, he was a comforter, and he said this in Job chapter 25, verse 4. He said, how then can a man be righteous before God? How can a man be righteous before God? Except unless God does something. That's my adding to it. But he asked this question, and he said it to Job. How can a man be righteous? Think about it. How can you be righteous without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. So what does the blood of Jesus Christ do for us? Well, first and foremost, thank you, Joyce, for we'll read in Ephesians 1 verse 4, because in verse 7, it gives, I love that, like you, it really is. The blessings that we have. You read it and think of all the blessings that you have in Christ. But it says in verse 7, in him, that's Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption. That word redemption means to buy back, to be brought back. It's the work of Christ upon the cross when he gave his life for you and for me. He laid down his life and he cried on the cross, it is finished. The whole work of salvation was complete, absolutely, on the cross. And when we come to Christ and receive him as Lord and Saviour, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ paid the price in full, not in half, not in measure, in full for your sin. Because redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ brings us into a position with God whereby we have an inheritance and we have blessings upon blessing. And unless we are absolutely certain within our hearts and minds that we've been redeemed. You've been brought back, folks. You're no longer the in the domain of Satan. No longer does Satan has the right to dominate you. No longer has he the right to tell you that you are a sinner and that you are not going to heaven. No right has he. Stand on the word of God and say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. There's an old song we used to sing of him. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. And you are redeemed. Completely, absolutely redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice atoned for your sin. It covered your sin. So in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that redemption. No longer am I a slave to sin. No longer am I a slave to Satan. I am a child of God because he has brought me back. He's paid the price for my sin upon the cross and he acclaimed me as his son and you as his daughter or as his son. Without, the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Because the second thing is, not only do we have redemption brought back, but we are forgiven. We're absolutely forgiven. God has so done a work in Christ Jesus for your salvation, my salvation, that there is no account for sin in heaven if it's been confessed. I love the story. Somebody said they went fishing and they started fishing and God spoke to them and said, you know, this is your sin. As deep, the Bible says in Isaiah, as deep as the sea, high as the heavens above. He has removed your sin. He has forgiven you. Forgiven you. There is no accounting of them. Do you know the only one thing that God can forget? Is confess sin. There's no account for it. It's removed completely. Because we are forgiven. Absolutely righteous before God. Absolutely. Because the next thing is, he's cleansed us. He's not only forgiven us, not only has he redeemed us, but he's cleansed us. Purified us. And in fact, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this: if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And it says, and the blood of Jesus, Christ his Son, cleanses from us from all sin. What does it mean by that? That word cleanses. It's in the continuous tense. Not only has he cleansed you from past sin, but he's cleansed you from all sin. Your responsibility as a believer, you know as well as I do, is that when we fall, when we sin, we need to come to Christ and seek his forgiveness. Not taking it for granted. Because Hebrew makes it clear that willful sin can never be forgiven. If you keep on sinning, doing the same thing, there's a point in your life that the Holy Spirit will no longer strive. That is willful sin. And the book of Hebrews says, hence, there is a fearful expectation. Nothing will ever atone for that sin, because you willfully sin continually. God is not mocked. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. But you can so violate, if I can use that word, and you can really violate the blood of Jesus and the atoning work of Christ, that the Holy Spirit will no longer strive with you. And there's a fearful looking forward to the judgment. And on that account, you stand before him and you say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's a fearful thing. In fact, it says in Hebrews as well, doesn't it? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not mocked. You can't treat him like a commodity that you can just go and get cleansed and come back. It's not like that. Be careful, friends. Real deep repentance is acknowledging your sin and turning away from your sin. 180 degrees in the other direction. Never again to violate the law of God. Never again to fall into gross sin again. Because you're so, so sincere with God that you want to be in heaven. You want to know him. You want the blessings that he's got for you. And you want to know him. And he wants you to know him. But please, be careful. Because your sins are forgiven. You are literally, absolutely made white as snow. You are pure before God. You say, well, I don't feel like pure. Well, that's your simple nature. We live in this simple nature. We're prone to sin. I'm not making a light of it. We are prone to sin. We all fall. We do things. We say things. We don't mean to. We lose our temper. I'm sorry if I lose mine with Sandra, because things are very difficult. We've had a hectic week. We've had a lot of work done in the house, and you want to see the mess. Anyway, but we'll get there. But you're prone to sin. You're prone to do things. Lord, I don't mean to do it, but my old nature rises up, and I sin. Well, cleanses from all sin. We can come back to Jesus, get on our knees and say, oh God, forgive me, I'm sorry, help me. Because Jesus will help you. The Holy Spirit is in you to help you to walk the right life and live the life that you're meant to live. But you will slip up. We all fall. Everyone else. No one perfect, no, not one. No one's righteous. No, not one. But it's not an excuse, friends. It's bound to the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit, please, please, please help me in this area of my life. This weakness that I have, this sin that I do, please, please help me. And I tell you, friends, he will. Because he's one that's been called alongside us to teach us, to help us, to lead us. And without him, we'll never make it. So I think the work of salvation that God has done is a complete work. So whether you feel that, now I don't feel cleansed, well, get before the Lord and ask him to cleanse you. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please help me in my life to live a righteous life, a life that's glorifying to your name. And Lord, those areas that I'm weak, just give me by your Holy Spirit the power to overcome. Because friends, we're overcomers. So we have redemption. We have forgiveness. We are kept on being cleaned. Because that word cleanses literally means keep on. So, you know, you're saying about that, your sins are transgressions that we don't even know. You know, even they are covered. It's beautiful. And then the Holy Spirit enlightens us and shows us, yeah. You know, I often say that it's the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, like with me anyway, he does, and says, that's got to go. It's time for that to go. Don't stop doing that. And you say, Lord, I submit to you. Give me the power to overcome and move on. And you find when you look back, and I think we all can look back in our lives, and the things that we did before, we don't do now. Remember, the Apostle Paul termed it this way. He said, the things that I do that I should not do, and the things I ought to do, I do not. Oh, wretched man who I am, who can deliver me? And he goes on. Who can deliver us? Well, we're cleansed by the blood, but the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome. What a glorious life we have, isn't it? So I don't knock anyone who falls, and I've known people to fall. The Bible says, though a man falls 7 times 70, yet he rise up. You can rise up, never fail to say, oh, I'm too bad for God. No one's beyond the power of the blood of Jesus. He can cleanse from all sin. And I remember, I think I've shared with you before, I had experienced a few years ago, and I was struggling with things in my life. And I thought, oh, and I got before the Lord. Oh, God. I am so, so sorry. And the Lord said to me, if there is one sin that the blood of my son could not atone for, then his sacrifice was incomplete. But I stand here this morning and say that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There is nothing he cannot cleanse you from. Your responsibility is to turn to him, repent, and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life more and more. So not only are we cleansed, but fourthly, we're getting through them quite quick, so I won't be long. So fourthly, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Justify. Justification. I love that word. What does that mean? Well, split it up. Just as if I never sinned. That's how complete your salvation is. You're justified before God. There's no record in heaven of your past sins because they're all under the blood. And you're now righteous before God. Justification. Love that word. I'm only touching these, please. Each one needs to be looked at in a deep way. But we haven't got time this morning. But justification, I love it. Because I stand before God, wholly righteous, no account of sin, nothing, no accusation can be brought against me because they'd all been brought under the blood of the Lamb. And I now stand before God, righteous. So not only are we being redeemed, not only are we being forgiven, not only are we being cleansed, but we've been made absolutely righteous, justification by faith. One of the things you probably know, in the early church, Martin Luther advocated this. In fact, he came to faith by reading Romans chapter 5, I think it was, and he realized that before God that he was not righteous. And he came to Christ and confessed his sins. on the work of the Reformation was birthed on this verse, justification by faith through the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can I say? I'll be here all day, because justification not only cleanses us and makes us absolutely righteous before God, but it brings us into a standing with God that we could never, ever attain by any of our human means. So you can give all your money, you can give your life, you can do this, do that, whatever you do, for other than the blood of Christ and coming to faith in him, is worthless, because he's not justified. But every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ can say this morning, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am justified because of the blood of Jesus. Just as if I never sinned. Then fifthly, we're getting to the nitty-gritty, because this is what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Not only that, but we have and still been made holy, sanctification. Big word. What does it mean? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all. Sanctification is an ongoing process. Although you are holy now before God, you are justified. The outworking of the Holy Spirit in our life is to produce a holy life. And so every step and every day that we take, every step we take by faith, moving on in the kingdom of God, should produce in us a more holy character. It should produce in us something that shines for Jesus. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's been sent to call alongside, to help us, to aid us, to change us into the likeness of the Son of God. And I often say to people, if you're still doing things like this year that you did last year that you know wrong, get before God. The work of sanctification is that process of producing in us a holy character to the glory of God. So people look on us. I love Moses, because Moses, when he came down the veil, had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was such upon him. Let me tell you, you can live so near to God. And I believe this is why Enoch was taken. You can get so close to God that you have to be taken, because you'd so blaze with the glory of God. And I've met godly men. I've listened to godly men. And I've sort of longed in my early years how I longed to be like them. But I realized that the work of the Holy Spirit is in me. It needs to happen in me and in you. And his purpose is to transform you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Sanctification, friends, will take place until the day that you meet the Lord in the air. You'll never come to a place where you can say that I'm completely sanctified. You are in the sight of God, because God looks on us in Christ Jesus and he sees us complete and perfect. But the work in us, human beings, is that it keeps on producing in us, so that we acknowledge him more and more, and say to him, Lord, you are my Savior. That's why we come together to worship him. That's why the church should praise him and worship him, because we have been sanctified through the blood of Jesus. Oh, let that work continue in you. Let it continue in me. There's still things in my life that are in your life. You probably don't know them, but the Holy Spirit will put his finger on it and say, now, let's deal with that. Let's put that under the blood and move on to make you more holy, so that the life of Christ shines out of us, so that the world will acknowledge that we belong to Jesus. And we're not ashamed of it, are we? No. I hope we're not. No way, shape, or form should we ever be ashamed or the name of Jesus. So that's sanctification. And then we come into another area. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Peace. Peace. How this world is crying out for peace. But I tell you what, they'll never get real peace. Because the peace that Jesus gives is perfect peace. In fact, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Nor of the world gives I it to you. Be of good courage. He goes on to tell the disciples. Peace of God. Peace in troubled times. Peace in hard times. Peace when we desperately need to be still and know the peace of God. God is there, friends. I know, I had an experience, and we were on holiday in Holyhead, and we went to a bad day camping, so we went to the swimming bath, and I almost, well, as I said, I drowned, jumped in the deep end. The problem is I can't swim. And I drowned and went down the bottom, and they got me up. And I said, well, you've heard my wife say that she prayed out loud and I came back to life. But they pronounced me dead. But I tell you what. She knows what I'm going to say. In some areas, it was needful because I mean, yeah, for Sandra and the children. But I wish I hadn't. I had such a peace. I can't describe it. A few years ago, somebody asked me, well, what sort of peace would it? I said, it's indescribable. And the Bible says it's indescribable peace. You cannot describe what the peace of God is. It was like when I came round as if the weight of sin, and I didn't want to be here. I was in the presence of God, and I really had a peace that's, I can't describe it. But the peace of God in your life and in my life, every day, every moment of every day, as we dwell in the peace of God, let the peace, in fact, the Apostle Paul said, let the peace of God dwell in you richly. Let the peace of God dwell in you. Let it abide in you. Let him lead you by his peace. Let him show you. Let him just manifest himself. Because I tell you, the peace of God is, you can't understand it. It can't be indescribable. Probably the word, best word. But you can know it. And you can know a measure of it, continuous know the peace of God. But one thing you all know now, you know now before God that if you've come to the cross, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, that you have peace with God now. And there's no accusation, nothing. No one can, the Apostle Paul said, it shall separate us from the love of God. Tribulation, trials, persecution, famine, earthquake, you name it, he gives the list there. I'm persuaded it's there. I'm more that he is more than able to bring us through, to deliver us. And the peace of God is the means by which God brings us into an understanding and into a knowledge of him as Lord and Saviour in the fullest extent. So when a person comes to Christ first and foremost, receives Christ as a whole, I was going to say road, there is a road, as a whole journey to go on. But I tell you what, it gets better every day, doesn't it? It gets sweeter and sweeter as day goes by, says the old song. Oh, how I love my Lord and I. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And nothing can separate you from the peace of God if you abide in him. You have to abide in the peace of God. So that's another benefit, blessing that it comes through the blood of the Lamb. And then 7, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, he says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, I love the buts, I love the buts. But verse 13 said, but now in Christ Jesus, now again in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 says in Christ Jesus continually, we're in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we have access into the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, wow, having boldness, friends, you have the right to enter into the very holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. No other way but through the blood of the Lamb. You have access into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus. You can come before him. You can say, Abba, Father, Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for everything. Thank you that I have access 24/7, whenever, into your very presence. Although life takes up so much of our time, we spend those moments, those times in the quietness, and we meditate and we just thank him and praise him. Oh, access into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies. Once a year, the priest went in, and not without blood. We have boldness into the very presence of God. Oh, what a benefit. And we come before the throne of grace and make our requests known. And I often say to people, just be honest with the Lord. Just be open. He knows everything, so why do we cover up? Why do we make things look easy? What it is? I've had arguments. I've said this before. I've had arguments in a way that are so frustrating. So that I had an argument with the Lord. You might say that's unholy, but it's the way I felt. I thought, yeah. And I told the Lord how angry I was. He already knew, so why should I hide it? And I told him I was just, and that's how God wants you to be. To be right with him. To be standing before him in his presence and giving him the glory and all the praise. Therefore, having boldness, let's come with boldness. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he hears and answers. And then number 8. This is a great one. Because in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says that they overcame. They overcame him, the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. They didn't love life unto death. Oh, thank you, Lord, that not only did you redeem us, sanctify us, save us, not only did you forgive us, not only has so much you done for us, but we had the victory over the enemy. Have you ever felt so overpressed? I have in my life. I've been so overpressed that I didn't know what to do. And I cried out, in the name of Jesus, go! And like a flash, I know it's a demonic attack. I just was aware of it. And I stood and I declared, I have the victory in Jesus. I tell you what, the name of Jesus, every demons flee. Amen. There's no other greater name than the name of Jesus. And you have the authority and right to trample on him and tell him to go. Intercessory prayer is vital in the church. But I do believe that personally there is times when we need to intercede and stand on our ground no matter what's coming against us and say, in the name of Jesus, I stand. As that great man of old, Martin Luther, said, here I stand. I can do no other. And here we stand in the grace and in the power and in the authority of the Son of God who loved us, gave his life for us. We have every right over the works of the enemy. We're more than conquerors, Paul said. Wow, we're not just conquerors, we're not just survivors. We are triumph. We are more than conquerors because of the blood he shed for us upon the cross. Oh, wow, what a salvation we have, folks. What a God we have. We've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we've been sanctified, we've been cleansed. We have access to the presence. We have the victory over the works of the enemy. So let us live as children of God. Don't let the devil get his foothold. In fact, the Bible says that we need to be careful that we don't give him a foothold in our lives, but stand on the authority of the Word of God, because the blood has been shed for you and God has given you the right. So all this, and as I said, you can look on internet and you can find a whole lot more. That I've just done the basic code. But then when you come to back into Psalm 32, it says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man and woman to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. We have blessings beyond blessing. Again, go home if you want and read Ephesians 1, because Paul makes it very clear there that Jesus Christ has done so much in our salvation. In him we have redemption. In him we have the forgiveness of sin. In him we are sanctified. In him we have access to the presence of God. In him we have every right to work over the enemy. And in him we have the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. So I ask you a question this morning. How real are you in your walk with him? I could say so much more about these, but I think I've said enough. But we sang that song, now is the time to worship. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one moment in your life. God gives you the opportunity. I believe every person living on the earth has at least one opportunity. If the grace of God is towards you, he may give you several, because God knows you better than anyone. But some people, there is only one opportunity to come to Christ, for to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But oh, so many people are looking for happiness in this world. They do all manner of things to get enjoyment and happiness. But I tell you what, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, who the Lord does not impute his iniquity. There is no greater happiness than to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very, very personal way. There's nothing like it. I know in my life I proved it. Walked away from the Lord while we, you know, but all the time I was away, I felt so I can't describe it. Incomplete. I felt absolutely as if everything had come to an end. But when I came back and when I turned to the Lord and went, you know, confessed my sin before him. Because, friend, that's what's got to happen. I don't believe I'm going to be bold anyway. And I say I'll probably get shot down. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's not the raising of the hand that saves them. That's an indication. What saves them is praying the sinner's prayer from the heart. Because God is so faithful that if we confess our sin, and sin has to be confessed. So the first thing a person needs to do is acknowledge their sin before God. There's no good coming to Christ and putting your hand up. What are you putting your hand up for? You've got to acknowledge you're a sinner before him. You've got to acknowledge that you violated the law of God. So if you acknowledge that Jesus, your sin before God, and repent of it, willingly, wanting, earnestly, desiring to turn from it, that you turn from it. Because the work of salvation, people say the work of salvation is whole work of God, and it is. But there is an element of we have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility, friend, to acknowledge our sin, to turn from our sin, to repent of our sin, if you like, and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and into our lives. There's no other means, no other ways, no other salvation. But a person can't do that until they acknowledge before God that they're sinners. So when a person puts an hand up, to me personally, it's an indication that they're desiring to know more, and they're desiring to want to accept Christ as Saviour. But they haven't actually done it until they pray the prayer of repentance. And until they pray the prayer asking Jesus Christ into their lives. From the heart, not from the head. So friends, this morning, I don't know if anyone here feels that they need to make that commitment. They need to really get right with God. Whatever. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Have you managed to find that song, Joy? Have you got another one? We're going to sing another song. And if you'd like to make that decision, you know, come forward and I'll pray with you. Recommitment, you may feel that you needed to get back to God, that you need God to cleanse you again. You need that cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. It's precious. The blood of Jesus is precious, folks. Don't violate it. Don't violate it. Come and let him help you as you turn to him. He said if you turn to him, he will in no wise cast you away. Whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he will accept and he will receive. He's so loving. He loves you so much. He loves you with a love that surpasses human understanding. And if you really, really feel this morning, I need to stand and make a declaration and put my faith in Jesus Christ and accept him or repent of sin, whatever, and do, come forward while we sing this song. Okay, Joe.